You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Now, the title of my message today is Hand on the Helm. And helm is a very interesting word. It's actually a nautical term, all right? And it means the steering gear of a ship. But the word helm can also mean a position of leadership or control. So I can say that Pastor Glenn and Pastor Sophia, they are at the helm of Audacious Church. That means that they are leading it, they're taking charge, and they are directing it. Amen? So helm is a very interesting word. It means a position of control and leadership. Now, I'm just going to pause here for a moment. If this morning you came here and you quarreled with your wife, and you know, right now in this moment in service, I can give you an opportunity to mend that relationship. You can turn to your wife if you want and say, honey, you are at the helm of our household. But if you want to escalate the fight, what you can do is you can tell her, honey, you are at the helm of my household appliances. Okay, you know how it is, right? Marriage, I mean, come on, you know, like, there's a Christian song that says, take my life and let it be, but some husbands, they pray, take my wife and let me be. Right, so now, the helm is a very, very interesting word. You know, I have laid my hands on the helm of a boat for a couple of times in my life. And the first time was when I was a journalist with a Singapore newspaper. And I covered sports and I covered a little bit of yachting. And this is a picture of me with my hand on the helm of a boat reporting on an event overseas. Now, during the event, the skipper thought that it was a good idea for me to try to steer the boat a little. Now, I write about yachting, but doesn't really mean that I can race a boat. Nevertheless, you know, he asked me, so I took the helm of the boat for a minute, and while I was doing that, you know, a photographer friend of mine was really cheeky. He took a photo of me, and it was an artistic shot. Now, it looks like I really, really know what I was doing there, but don't be fooled by the pictures. You know, when my hand was on the helm, I didn't know where I was going and what I was doing. And so that was the first time. The second time I laid my hands on the helm of a boat was during about 10 years ago when we were with our friend from Sweden, a pastor, and he got us into a boat. And that is the second time, again, I laid my hand on the helm of the boat. I still didn't know what I was doing. It was just laying my hand on the helm of a boat. And you know what? Well, thank God on that day there was no storm, no rain, not even a little wind. That's why we all survived, and today I live to tell you the story. So on all the occasions that I've laid my hand on the helm of a boat, you know, I didn't know what it was doing. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter to anybody. But let me tell you why my hand on the helm of the boat doesn't matter. When you start to understand when God's hand is on the helm of your life, that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And so in the Bible, it says this. It says, you know, let go of your concerns and then you will know. In Psalms 46, let go of your concerns and then you will know that I am God and I rule the nations and I rule the earth. How many of you are glad that God is the ruler of our nation? Amen. He's the ruler of my nation as well in the chaos. So, you know, so this is what it says. God rules the nations. He rules the earth. He rules. So today, if you're having any concerns about your life, the Bible says we are to let go of these concerns because our God is God and His hand is securely on the helm of your nation and securely on the helm of your life. Amen. And so even when things may start to look a little stormy, but God is still, His hand is still very much on the helm of your life, steering you right into your destiny, still getting you on the right track. Now, that's a favorite verse that I like from the Bible. And it is in Psalms 84. It says this. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And when your heart is set on pilgrimage, you know what you do? You go from strength to strength. And so the Christian path, the Christian life here is described as a path. So when you make a commitment to have Jesus in your life, you make a commitment to walk with God on this path. And when you walk on this path, it's never glory to sorry or faith to failure, but it is always glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength, level to level. But the key is this: we have to make a commitment to keep walking on this path that God has for us. Amen? But you know, like our paths, the paths may not be always rosy. There will always be disappointments. There will always be hurts and you know, setbacks that is going to take place in the path that you've been walking on. And so, you know, the setbacks could be in terms of relationship or finances or even in marriages or sometimes in our health. Some of us here have been betrayed by people. Some of us, we have been hurt by friends and family members. But I want to tell you this morning that you can trust that God's hand is still on the helm of your life. And God uses not just the good stuff in your life, but He also uses the bad things that happen. And God can make our enemies to be in favor with us. God can make our enemies work in our favor. You see, even Jesus Himself, He knew betrayal and hurt and disappointment. You know, only the people who come the closest to us can really hurt us. And so, you know, as you know, Jesus was betrayed by one of His disciples called Judas. But you need to know something this morning. Judas was not a mistake. It wasn't as if, you know, when Judas appeared that God was momentarily out of control, and that when Judas appeared that God's hand was lifted off the helm of the boat for a little bit. You know, the role of Judas was important to the death and the resurrection of Christ. And no one helped Christ reach His goal like Judas. So our friends can hurt us, they can wound us, our families can betray us, but listen, through their betrayal, God can still execute His will in your life. His hand is still on the helm of your life. He's still steering you. He's still leading you in the right path to the right destiny. So God is in control. It's not the devil and not Judas. Amen? But many of us, you know, we fear Judas. We don't want a Judas in our life. We all prefer a friend like John. You know, John is always loving, encouraging. We prefer a friend maybe like Peter, and Peter is always trying to defend you and you know, protective of you. So we like the Peters and the Johns, and we don't really like Judas. But you know what? I want to tell you this morning, John is used by God, Peter is used by God, but even Judas in your life can be used by God. So every betrayal, every hurt, every disappointment in your life can be used by God to push you down this path that you're walking with Him, to bring you to the next level, to bring you to the next step of glory, to bring you to the next higher capacity in Him. Amen. You know, sometimes men's rejection is God's direction. Sometimes men's rejection is God's direction. So don't fear the Judas in your lives. Judas can still be used by God to push you down the path for greatness. God's hand is still on the helm of the betrayal and that hurt. Amen? Now, we got to be a little bit more like Jesus. Do you know how confident Jesus is? Do you know when Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray Him, do you know what was His mindset and what was His attitude and what did He say? See, when Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray Him, He said this. He said, "Judas, whatever you want to do, do it quickly. Whatever you want to do, do it quickly." He has such a great confidence in God and His Heavenly Father, because what Jesus was essentially saying is this: Judas, what are you going to do? Do quickly, because my Heavenly Father is still very much in control. Judas, whatever you want to do, do it quickly, because I know that God will make all things work together for my good. Judas, your betrayal will push me to the cross, but that cross will bring redemption to the world. So whatever you want to do, do it quickly. And that is the confidence of Jesus. And a preacher once said this. He says, "The kiss of Judas will never abort the promises of God in your life." The kiss of Judas will never abort the promises of God in your life. Amen. So this morning, if you are here and you've experienced some kind of a setback or a disappointment, a betrayal, or a struggle in your life, I want you to understand that God is still very much in control in your life. His hand is still on the helm of your life, on your church, at your workplace, in this nation. So right now, I'm going to pause and bring someone up on stage. Now, this girl, she shared a testimony in the women's conference, and I thought that, you know, I think the rest of the church should hear it as well. She's a girl who got saved in our church, and her story is one of many such stories in our church. And, you know, I just know, my husband and I know that we can bring our messages, you know, he and I, we can bring our messages, but the thing that really speaks about what our church is all about are the lives of the young people. And so that's why we often bring them on our trips like this, so that they can share their life stories with the rest of the world. So could you just, you know, it can be quite frightening standing in front of a lot of blonde hair and, you know, brunette and all that. So it's a new crowd, you know, and so I want you to put a smile on your face and just look really friendly, and let's welcome my team, Stephanie Chan.
Hi everyone, I'm Stephanie, I'm 22, and I just graduated from university. When I turned 4, my parents filed for a divorce. I had to choose to live with my mom. Since then, I never saw my dad again. Home was not a peaceful place, and it was often violent. Feeling helpless, I thought the best thing I could do was to do well in school. At 13, I scored straight A's and won many awards at national track and field competitions. I had achieved so much, but I still felt empty on the inside. But when I was 14, something amazing happened. I woke up one morning and there was a voice in my heart saying, "Go to Heart of God Church." I thought, church? Why would I even go to a church? I'm not even a Christian. But the voice in my heart just kept ringing, "Go to Heart of God Church." What? I've never heard of this church before. So when I Googled it, I was really surprised. There is really a church called Heart of God Church. Then I thought it would be in some faraway country. But as I clicked on the website, I realized it was right there in Singapore. So I emailed the church and asked if I was suitable to attend services. I even pretended that I was a Christian because I thought the church might not accept me if I'm not. I even ended with, "May God bless you." That very weekend, I came to Heart of God Church. The auditorium was filled with youths. In that weekend message, Pastor Charleston shared that God has a unique purpose for each one of us. I was so shocked. It felt like the sermon was written just for me. That weekend, I decided to follow Jesus. Then God prompted me to pray for my younger brother, Sylvester. He also came to church and gave his life to Jesus. After I became a Christian, I started to know God better and realized that He had been taking care of me even when I wasn't aware. You see, at home, finances were tight. My brother and I used to skip meals to save money. When my pastors heard about it, they placed my brother and I on the church's scholarship and opportunity fund so that we can receive a monthly allowance for our daily needs. I was so grateful that we no longer had to skip meals and could live like normal teenagers. God was taking care of our needs. One day, I bumped into my dad at a funeral. I had not seen him for the last 14 years. I didn't know what to do. I looked at him, and he looked at me for a few awkward seconds. I was waiting for him to say something. Then he just turned around and walked away. At that moment, my heart broke. All my life, I dreamed about what it would be like to see my dad again. What would he say? What would he do? But the last thing I expected was for him to walk away from me again. That day, I realized that my dad didn't want to have a relationship with me. Because of my dad, I never liked Father's Day. But in Heart of God Church, every Father's Day and Mother's Day, Pastor and Pastor Leah give gifts and write letters to youths who are fatherless or motherless. And I'm so thankful that every year, Pastor remembers my brother and I. The gifts and letters mean so much to us. And one of them passed our road. Leave the past, let it go. You can't embrace the future holding onto the past. Most people remember what they should forget and forget what they should remember. Only remember God and His goodness. I couldn't stop tearing. My hurt and unforgiveness towards my dad started to fade away. Another time, pastors included a group of us in their personal family dinner. That day was the first time I felt what it was like to have a complete family. That night, Pastor Leah texted me saying, "You will have a complete family yourself." I was so moved. I believe that from my generation onwards, it will be different. Over time, God gave me the courage to believe that He could use me to impact others because of what I had been through. So at 16, I started leading a group of young people. I also joined the events team, which planned services for thousands of people every weekend. When I was 19, I had the opportunity to join many meetings with pastors. There, I learned how they lead and plan for the church. Then pastors included me in a trip to Sweden where they preached for a conference. I also shared my testimony to thousands of people. And this was only possible because of the belief that God and the church had in me. Recently, I went for a 3-month internship for university in San Francisco. Coincidentally, pastors were in San Francisco too. The moment Pastor Leah knew about it, she immediately arranged to watch a baseball game with me. Pastor Leah bought tickets for the best seat because she wanted me to have the best view and experience. She patiently explained to me how the game works. After that, she asked me to try on different jerseys and bought the one that suited me the best. Then at night, Pastor passed me $100 USD and he said, "Steph, this is for you. We just wanted to love you and bless you." I was so touched beyond words. I felt so loved by my spiritual parents. During my internship in San Francisco, my boss was so happy with my performance that he told me, "Stephanie, anytime you want to work for us, contact me and I will ensure that you have a job here." And this was an opportunity of a lifetime, a full-time job in San Francisco. And for most people, that would be a dream come true. But for me, I did not even consider the offer because it would mean not being in Singapore to build Heart of God Church. I love church and I love to build young people just like how I was loved and built. In fact, all the skills I used at my internship, from design to communication, were all learned in church. God's hand has always been on my life, even though I didn't even know Him yet. Yes, been 8 years since I followed Jesus, and God was growing me at every single turn. And right now, I'm a staff in church. I lead 50 people and run services for 4,000 people every weekend. Friends, my life is a testimony that God's hand is in control of our lives. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. What a great testimony. Isn't that incredible? I mean, wow. She doesn't even know God yet, and it's God just putting thoughts in her head and telling her to go to a particular church. I mean, you know, God's hand was already on the helm of her life even before she knew it. And to her credit, she was obedient, and she went to where God pointed her to, you know. How many of you think Stephanie deserves a round of applause? Come on. And you know, I need to tell you this. Every time I listen to this testimony, I get really encouraged because, you know what? It tells me that God knows Heart of God Church and that, you know, we are known in heaven, and that's a big relief for us. You know, God points people to our church. And how many of you know that God will point people to Audacious as well? Amen. Come on. So, you know, that's what Stephanie did, and she made a commitment to be on that path that God has for her, and she has been growing from strength to strength since the day she stepped into our church. And you know, God's desire for us is always to go from level to level, strength to strength, and He did the same with King David. You know, bit by bit, God was increasing King David. And so sometimes, like King David, we feel like after we've conquered a lion, that was it. But no, you know what? Afterwards, we will meet a bear, and the bear will bring a giant killer out of us. And then we meet a giant, and it brings a king out of us. And that's how God keeps wanting to grow us all the time. Amen. God wants to bring a king out of all of us. He wants to bring life at a higher level out of us all the time. So I'm going to close soon, and I'm going to close with this. You know, when you read in the Bible, there are actually three occasions that Peter was out on the water in the boat. And on all three occasions, Jesus was putting Peter through training school. And if you remember, knowing scriptures, you know, on the first occasion, Peter was in the boat, and there was no storm, and Jesus was there in the boat with him that day. Well, on top of that, it was a very good day because Jesus was not only in the boat, Jesus led him to a great catch of fish on that day. And so there was no storm, it was calm. And so it was a good day. You know, he knew, wow, this is good. It's the goodness of God, and this is a provision of God. But that was only at the beginner's level that Peter was going through. And then comes the second occasion, and this time Peter was in a boat with Jesus again. But this time it was different. There was a great storm, and you know, Peter was no longer at the believers, at the new beginner's level of school. Because on this second occasion with Jesus in a boat, there was a storm, and it was such a big storm. You know, the waves were 6-story high and was rocking furiously, and they were all desperately trying to stay alive. You know, they were fighting to be alive, and then suddenly they remembered, ah, Jesus is with us in the boat, but it's just that he's sleeping. So they woke up Jesus, if you remember, and then Jesus got up on the second occasion that Peter was in the boat. He got up, and then he's lifted his hands over the waves and the winds. And the Bible said that everything stood still. Now, Peter was watching all of this going on, and he was so stunned because, you know, he was so captivated and so fascinated by this Jesus that he was looking, you know, at and who was calming the storm. And Peter, on the second occasion, he asked a question. He asked himself, what kind of a man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Now, how many of you know that the questions we ask show us at what level of maturity of life we are at? So on this second occasion, not on the first occasion, Peter had just seen Jesus as goodness and the provider, finances and provision and fish. But on this second occasion, you know, he is asking, his heart has been stirred and stretched, and he's been asking, is there more? On this second occasion, he saw the power of Jesus at work, and is there more? Is there more? And you know what? Jesus was using the storm to stretch Peter, to grow Peter. He was trying to increase Peter's revelation of him. He was trying to increase Peter's capacity. He was trying to bring a king out of Peter. And so on the third occasion, in Matthew 14, you will see Peter in a boat again, this time. The other disciples again in the boat for the third time. And this time, it was even harder for Peter because, yeah, there is another storm, right? It's similar as the second occasion, but this time it was slightly different. Jesus was not in the boat. You know, he wasn't around, you know, and the waves were even higher. The winds were blowing even harder, but Jesus was not in the boat. This third time in the boat was a lot harder than the first and second encounters that they have with God and Jesus. On this third occasion, Jesus was not to be found, and Peter's faith was being tested, and Peter was being stretched in his faith. So where is Jesus now? You know, he's thinking to himself in the boat on this third occasion. Has he lifted his hand off the helm of this boat on this time round? Where is Jesus, and where is Jesus? Well, friends, I want to remind you here at this point that there you may be facing storms in your life, and sometimes you are tempted to think and suspect and doubt that maybe God has lifted his hand off the helm of your life. Maybe he's forgotten about you. Well, this morning, I want to assure you, God's hand is always on the helm of your life. He is in control. He is always in control. He is always in control through the storms. And so, Jesus, God, was using this difficult time for Peter to step up to a greater revelation of who he is, to get a greater revelation of his power, his character. And so, he was setting him up from strength to strength, for greater capacity, and God was trying to make him stronger through the storm. And God makes people stronger. If you read in the book of Job, you know what? We want to be made stronger so that we can proclaim this like Job did. He says, God, I have seen you. I have heard of you by the hearing of my ear. But now my eyes have seen you. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes have seen you. And true enough, Peter saw Jesus in the storm. Jesus wasn't in the boat, but he was still very much in control. He was walking on the water. And Peter was stunned. The disciples were stunned. And then finally, Jesus got into the boat, and the Bible said three words. The winds stopped. The winds stop. The hand of God was still very much on the helm of Peter's rocky boat. And so at this highest level, on this third occasion, this highest level, an intimate level of encounter with God, the disciples all worshiped him. And they said, truly, truly, you are the Son of God. See, this is the first time in the Bible that the disciples called Jesus the Son of God. This revelation, this statement, it didn't come overnight, but it was built step by step. It was built storm by storm. But you know what they did? They went from strength to strength, revelation to revelation. In the second encounter, they had asked, you know, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And here, at the final, most intimate level of encounter with Jesus, they answered their own question. They say, hey, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. And with that revelation, a king was brought out of the disciples. And now they are ready to change the world. They are ready to bring the gospel to every part of the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.